We're back with The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. Back in 2021, comedian Atsuko Okatsuka made her late-night debut on The Late Late Show with James Corden. She had some candid thoughts on marriage.
People think I'm mature because I'm married. Yeah, but I would argue that getting married is the childlike thing to do. Yeah, because married people, what do they say? They say things like, I found my best friend.
When I sat down with Atsuko earlier this week, she told me her earnest sense of humor isn't a fiction. It's part of her experience of figuring out the difficulty of adulting.
I feel like I'm a little bit stunted as an adult. I feel like I'm a definite late bloomer to a lot of things. I just learned how to clean the lint tray out of the dryer for the first time. things like that. And we've had a dryer for a while in our house. I have a lot of realizations like that. I think maybe because, you know, I live with my head in the clouds a lot. The late bloomer thing, I feel like my grandma sheltered me from a lot of the realities of the world growing up. So I'm just a little late to things, and that's where the curiosity comes from.
And nearly a year after Atsuko's viral TikTok drop it challenge, her playful jokes landed her a comedy special of her own called The Intruder. It premieres December 10th on HBO and HBO Max.
I had an intruder come to my house 3 times in the same day. And, you know, in a way, when I was growing up in the States as an immigrant, formerly undocumented immigrant, and just trying to catch up with everything so fast, you know, and figuring out if I fit in or not, I felt like sort of an intruder myself, too, you know, onto a whole new other people's like culture, a whole new country. So, you know, my grandma, my mom and me just sort of lived in a garage, and my grandma told me we were coming to the States for a 2-month vacation. She didn't tell me the truth about a lot of things, like we're going to live there permanently, you know, in Los Angeles. A lot of the truth was hidden from me to protect me.
You know, it's interesting as I hear you talk about it, right? That those lies that the adults who love us tell us can both stunt us and serve us at the same time.
It's very true because she was the one dealing with things like, you know, applying for us to get a green card behind our backs. You know, she had planned the move to the States. She had planned where we would live, you know. And so in a way, I could just sort of try to concentrate on just being a kid and growing up while she dealt with all that. But in turn, you know, I have the curiosities and I found comedy, so it was a good way to sort of channel that and convey that.
That idea of growing up comes fast and adulting is hard. One of the challenges of adulting is also a challenge of youth, and that is making friends. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I had a realization the other day where sometimes I go into a bar and I see a group of people that are having fun or something and laughing together. And I go, how do I approach that table? Right? It's so daunting. It's like high school all over again, you know, being in the quad during lunch, seeing groups of different people. And it's still the same thing as an adult, you know, just like, hello, what's your favorite color? Like, how do you approach a people that are already pretty happy with their friend group, because most adults come with their set of friends already. What do you do? Hey, you want to arm wrestle with me at this bar? I don't, you know, and so that's something I realize and have started to talk about, at least for my new hour of stand-up.
The way you described it, adults already come with their own friend group and you're like trying to break in, trying to figure out where to sit at the table. It does sound in a certain way like a metaphor for the immigrant experience as well, right? Sort of showing up in a nation where folks think of all the seats as already taken or fairly rigidly defined and what it means to break into that space.
Yeah, that's so true. Because then you go, maybe I try to hang out with fellow immigrants, you know, fellow people from my place, but that's assuming, you know, having just that as a commonality will have enough chemistry. You know what I mean? There's still whole personalities that people carry with them. You know, your friend group should look like the Avengers. right? If you are actually approaching friendships with for a heart-to-heart connection, right? It shouldn't look like everyone shouldn't look like you. You know, you shouldn't all look the same.
Tell me about finding Margaret Cho in church.
Oh, yeah. I was going to church because, like I was saying, you try to find your own community. And when I first came to the States, my uncle, who we were staying with, was going to church. He was the choir director. So he was like, do you want to make friends or not? Church is a great way to do it. And that's how they get immigrants. They go, there's free lunch. There's people who speak your language, you know? And so I went to church and a friend of mine in youth group passed a DVD of Margaret Cho's stand-up to me during one of the sermons. It was this very hush-hush, like, psst, hey, take this home. And I was like, what's this? What? A DVD? She's like, that's stand-up comedy. I was like, stand-up comedy? I'd never heard of that before. I was blown away. I was laughing so hard. It was one person holding court, just talking, using her mouth to make people laugh, just with words and stories and impressions and jokes. And it was someone who looked like me. And I had also never seen that before. And so that was the start of me realizing, you know, stand-up comedy could be a path, you know, for me.
I love this visual I now have of, like, you know, almost like contraband passing a Margaret Cho DVD down the pew, right, during the sermon.
It wasn't so bad, but, you know, she might curse, you know what I mean? And talk about dirty things, you know? And so, yeah, it was in church, you know, right after we ate the body of Jesus or whatever and drank his blood. That was the only thing getting passed around, or the donation bag. So it was pretty cool to get Margaret Cho instead that day.
So I actually want to play something for you.
Atsuko is such an inspiration to me. She shows me that there is so much that is possible in terms of comedy, in terms of Asianness, in terms of Americanness, in terms of feminism, in terms of fashion. She is wildly inventive, such a weirdo in the best way. And she always really just, I think, impresses me, instigates this kind of like joy and fierce excitement. She's everything. Come through, Atsuko. I love you.
Oh my gosh. am I on Ricky Lake?
It's so good.
Is anybody there? Hello? Wait, who am I? Wait, hello?
How does it feel to be called such a weirdo in the best way by Margaret Cho?
That was so sweet. And I recognized her voice from anywhere, from miles away. Oh my gosh, it was so heartwarming to hear my idol, someone I grew up watching that, you know, I'm friends with now. But that is so sweet. That these are the kinds of words I say about her behind her back. And you know, we're doing something, I think, historical with HBO, because on HBO, Margaret Cho was the first Asian-American female stand-up I had seen with a special on there. And the second one is going to be me. So I went to her place and we talked about this. And I was like, do you have any advice for the third Asian-American female stand-up that's going to have a special on HBO? And she said, wear antiperspirant. Because she could still see the sweat stains in her special 22 years later.
That's so real. That's like actual advice, like real and actual advice.
Yeah, because, you know, you can do the whole like, believe in yourself, just go for it, girl. You know, when it comes to the time of the taping, I need some technical advice too. And that's what I love about Margaret. She always finds levity in things and, you know, gets to the point. It's like, gosh, I didn't actually wear deodorant on the day of my taping. And how could I forget?
I think the question is though, when you dropped it for the creation of the drop challenge, were you wearing clean underwear?
Was I wearing underwear? I don't think anyone's ever asked me that in an interview before.
These are the key questions. Are you wearing deodorant and clean underwear? These are like the grandma questions.
100%. Is it always clean? I don't know about that. As long as my husband did the laundry, it is.
There you go. I have to say, your grandmother's expression, though, as you dropped it all over Tokyo, is my favorite thing.
What, just deadpan and confused?
Yes. Yeah, she's just like, what is, why? Why is this happening?
That's kind of sort of my entire upbringing, I think, you know. It and something about being raised by someone two generations above you, you know, is that there's always going to be a, what is going on? What are kids doing these days? She's 50 years older than me. And so that's always been a constant ever since I was a kid, anything I did. I remember one time I even made my grandma be my boyfriend while we were in public because I just wanted a boyfriend. And I wanted, maybe from the back, if I put my arms around her, people will think, you know, she has short hair. People will think, you know, this is my boyfriend. So I've done weird things to her.
If you were to, as we go out, if you were to sort of leave a voice memo to your grandmother at this point, what would it say?
Gosh, I never thought about that. I thought I'd try to tell her everything, but I'll say that she's worked really, really, really hard in her life. And I'm so glad that even if it's been more recent times, I'm glad that she's able to sort of relax and have fun too, because out of anyone I know, she deserves it.
I love that. Otko, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was comedian Otko Okatsuka. Her comedy special, The Intruder, premieres December 10th on HBO and HBO Max.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.